point out scripture. Jesus said in the Word of God, he said, you know the scriptures, but you do not know the kingdom of God. He said, you know the scriptures, but you do not know the kingdom of God. It goes on in Luke chapter 4, verse 43. I want to use these, and I used them the other night, but I want to use them again to lay our foundation and bring us to where we are. Luke 4, 43, he says, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. Look what he said. I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. The reason he was sent, according to his own words, was to preach the kingdom of God. He came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what we were really laying out the other night when we began to talk about it, that he came to really bring to you and I the revelation and help us understand what it is to be a part of a kingdom and to have a kingdom mindset. And I even gave the illustration that you and I can have keys, and I have a ton of them up here. Oh, my. I didn't mean to bring the whole thing. Anyway, this is part of them. These are keys to this church and the school. And the school is probably 3/4 of them because of the classrooms and all the little cubbies and whatnot over there. And honestly, David's sitting back there. He gets around the whole school without these. But if we were to lock up the doors, you know, we wouldn't be able to. But there are these keys each provide access to an area of that building. They provide access to some of the power panels, and there's access to some of the little the safe that's back in the office area, and then there's a key to lock the PA system even, and just different weird things, and keys to everything. But what good are the keys if you don't really know what they go to, right? We've all had keys where if they're on a ring, much like there are some keys on that ring, I have no idea. I've simplified. And this is the main ring of keys for the school because all of those others are too heavy to carry around, right? And so I've simplified because I know those are the ones that I need the most. And the other one's sort of the one that stays in the car in the cubby, and I grab it when I get there and if I need to do something that I don't normally do. But what good are the keys if you don't know what they go to? And yet so many times, look at what Jesus said in the scripture there. He says, you know the word, or you know the scriptures. Right? How did he say it? You know the scriptures, but you do not know the kingdom of God. You know the scriptures, but you do not know the kingdom of God. And so, what is it that we say? What is it that Jesus is really telling us? He's saying, hey, it's fine. You know the scriptures, but you do not know the kingdom of God. He's saying that we're good at quoting them. We're good at saying, we can quote, it's by his stripes that we are healed. But what we miss in the context of what Jesus was teaching is that there are keys to the kingdom. And that oftentimes we will quote it. I can say that I believe that I'm healed, right? I can decree that. I can declare a thing and it shall be done. But Jesus was teaching more specifically, if we read through the Gospels, that there are keys to the kingdom. There are things that he's saying that we have to pay close attention to so that we don't miss out on all that is available to you and I. As we were teaching on Pentecost the last few weeks, and I let you know that that Pentecost is in part about harvest, but it's also about revelation. But I said some weeks ago that there's a difference between harvest and inheritance, right? Harvest is the benefit that I get from what I've done. Inheritance is something that I receive because of who I am. You and I, that we inherit things, and that's what Jesus wants us to understand about the kingdom. There are things that are available to you and I, and so many times that we are suffering or doing without or in difficult positions or we're not seeing breakthrough, because we're not fully understanding who it is that we are. And more importantly, that we don't fully have an awareness and understanding of who he is at all. And so he wants you and I to have that great revelation. And so we were looking into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, and all that it is and all that he wants to lay out before you and I. And so I want to just pick up. I'm not going to take time to go over the things that I reviewed earlier in the week on that Facebook Live video. But I want to pick up, let's just start with Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and he says, "Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem.'" Now pay attention to that. He says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." It's important, and I want to pause there for a moment, and we'll continue to look at this. But believe it or not, same scripture we were using for the series on Pentecost, that you shall receive power, right, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus was doing something here. Jesus was telling them they misunderstood. Jesus wasn't there to destroy Caesar. They sort of had another idea, and so that's why he said it's not for you to know the time that the Lord is going to restore the kingdom of Israel. He said it's not for you to know the dates or times. He goes on, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And he was explaining to them, he wasn't there to destroy Caesar or knock off Pilate or establish a military kingdom. He wasn't there to do that at all. We often have heard people even preach or teach it that way. That wasn't the assignment of who Jesus was or what he came to do. See, they were looking for a military leader. But Jesus came as a suffering servant to set them up to receive the kingdom. He came as a suffering servant. And so notice in the scriptures, and I'm not going to go through and read it all, but I challenge you to go back and check it out just for the sake of time. Pilate asked Jesus something. He says, "You are a king." And Jesus said, "Yes, but my kingdom," Jesus said, "Yes, I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world." Because basically he was saying, if my kingdom was of this world, right, my soldiers would fight for me. In other words, what's Jesus saying? In other words, if Jesus was going to go military, or that was sort of the agenda of Jesus, he was saying to Pilate, "You would be my servant." When Jesus spoke to Pilate, he was speaking to a kingdom. He was speaking to a kingdom person so he would understand. He was laying it out in a manner that Pilate could understand the objective and the reason that Jesus is there. Now, think about this for a moment. We're going to get into some deeper things of this, but I want to point this out as we begin with this today. If Jesus was going to go military, and if that was the assignment of Jesus, right, then he really could call 10 legions of angels to wipe Pilate out. He could have done that. Think back when Jesus was arrested in the garden, and Peter was a religious person, and sort of, you know, we know, had a temper and had, you know, always sort of got his mouth got him in trouble at times. But and what I found is that, like Peter, religious people like to fight. Remember, I'm talking about religious people, people who are consumed by religion and that, rather than a real relationship with God. Religious people tend to like to fight. And so the Bible says in that story with Peter that they came to arrest Jesus, and Peter pulled out a sword. And Jesus says, that "I don't need you to fight for me." Jesus told Peter, "Hey, I don't need you to fight for me." And so Jesus ended up picking up the guy's ear and put it back on. And Jesus even said then, he says, "Even now I can call 10 legions of angels." Even in that moment where tensions arose, and if Jesus needed, he could have called 10 legions of angels. And just think about this. One legion is 6,000. 10 legions would be like 60,000 soldiers, right? But Jesus said, even now I can call on 10 legions, like 60,000, to fight on his behalf, right? And so the disciples were thinking of a military kingdom. But Jesus answered them about that kind of thinking in verse 8 that we use so often when we're talking and teaching about Pentecost. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We need to take a moment to understand the purpose for a witness. The words of Jesus. He says, but you will be my witness. We got to understand that. He's not talking about passing out tracts. Passing out tracts, that's sort of what religion has made it. We call that witnessing, but that's not at all what Jesus was saying. Look at the words of Jesus. You will be my witnesses. You'll be witnesses unto me. He was saying, you're going to be witnesses unto me, not the people. We get that so wrong. What do we try to do? We want to be witnesses to the people. And I'm not saying there's not a time for witnessing. Please hear me. I'm not saying that at all. I want you to get the fullness of this text. He said, you will be my witnesses. You're going to be a witness unto me. What Jesus was really saying in those moments is he was laying out that there's a legal term. And several weeks ago, I talked to you about in Revelations where it says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, meaning evidence. That part of our method of overcoming in the kingdom is that we offer up evidence, that we provide evidence of who he is and what God has done. And that's the reason why testifying is so important, so that we can offer up evidence of what God has done. It's easier for me to believe God for my healing if I've heard you testify about what God did in your life. It's easier for you to believe for a financial miracle if you heard how God did a financial miracle in somebody else's life. And so we offer up evidence or testimony. Amen? And so Jesus said, I want you to be witnesses unto me, not to the people. He was using it as a legal term right there in the text. Because in the court of law, if I claim something to be true, if I go to court this week and I claim something to be true, and if I'm going to bring witnesses to prove what I say, then everyone I bring in the courtroom as a witness has to be able to verify or bring evidence of what I say. All right? They have to bring evidence. So in the courtroom, words are not where the power is. Evidence is where the power is. In the courtroom, I can say just about anything, and people do. People will say things that aren't necessarily true. And so what they look at when they go to trial is they look for evidence, right? And if there is no evidence, right, they necessarily won't be convicted. And so Jesus was using this in a term. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Witnesses. He was using it as a legal term, that there has to be evidence. That he wants you and I to walk and live and provide evidence daily. Right. But he wants us to be witnesses unto him. And so oftentimes we'll say things like, I'm a king's kid. But yet we'll say things like that, but yet we're still walking broke. We're still poor. We're still sick. We're still dealing with the same old things. We're still depressed. But yet Jesus said what? He said, my kingdom has overcome the kingdoms of this world. And I'm using many of these scriptures of the word, the very words of Jesus about the kingdom, because it's simply because I don't believe we have a full understanding of the kingdom of God and how marvelous it really is. My kingdom has overcome the kingdoms of this world. In other words, his kingdom has power over every circumstance. We have to get in the witness stand and show the evidence of the kingdom. Right. One of the things I said the other night on the Facebook Live was the kingdom does not lie. And I know I heard my mom talking about it a little bit, and others had used that phrase this week, and as a reminder, sort of speaking the faith to themselves. The kingdom does not lie. Right? But more importantly, let's broaden that statement. The king and the kingdom does not lie. And so whatever Jesus says, whenever we read scripture in these words of Jesus, and he provides promises to you and I, the king and the kingdom do not lie. If Jesus says that something is available to you and I, then it's available. But what we're missing when it comes to the kingdom are the keys, the things that we need to unlock that. And there are things. It's yes, we can ask, but there are also things that I see through the Word of God that it's as if it's a key. And we're going to get to those in just a couple moments, that it will unlock it, things that will hold up what we're asking God for, that we're not seeing that it come from the heavens. We're not seeing God open the windows of heaven and pour out. So his kingdom has power over every circumstances. And so you and I have to be able to be in the witness stand and show the evidence. We have to demonstrate the evidence of who he is. And notice what he says, what Jesus says. What is the key to the evidence? It's power. The key to the evidence that we provide unto him is power. In other words, it's the things that work. He's not talking about religion or Christianity. He's not talking about tradition. He's talking about power that works. Right? I can say that I'm healed, but yet not walk in healing. I can say that I'm blessed, but yet not walk in abundance, right? I can say all the things and decree things that Jesus says in his word, but yet not see the manifestation of that. And that's one of the things that frustrate me the most. It's probably one of the things that frustrates you the most is when I see people not obtaining and possessing the kingdom life. Meaning when I see people not obtaining and possessing what God says that they can have, what God says in his word is available to you and I. That he wants you and I to be able to be a kingdom citizen. So, how do I live in the kingdom? I want to look at a couple of verses with you today. How do I live in the kingdom? Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. He says, because of the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Another translation says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. In other words, I'll put it in simpler language for you. In other words, the kingdom has some secrets that make the kingdom work. That means you and I can be in the kingdom and still starve to death if you don't know what the secrets of heaven, secrets of the kingdom are. Look what he said there in Matthew 13, 11. Because of the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. That's what I was meaning about the keys. You can have a bunch of keys that are given to you, and they can be for everything that you own. And I can have the keys, but I don't necessarily know what they go to. I don't know the location, and therefore I don't know the secret of the keys. Having all of the keys, but not knowing the secret of where they go. I can be left a house, right? But here's the way the kingdom works. Right? Getting the house is easy, right? If you read the Bible, there's no key to the kingdom. Right? He's not saying there's a key to the kingdom. He's saying, but there are keys of the kingdom. In other words, he's saying getting the house is easy, but getting access to everything that's in the house, there are keys or there are secrets to it. Right? Matthew 16, 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We're good at quoting that scripture right there. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We quote that. We use it in prayer. We use it in intercessory prayer. We do it when we do it well. And yet we often are missing everything that he wants you and I to get from the text. Hallelujah. same thing that you and I do whenever we have keys that we don't know what they go to. When we first acquired the school building, the first thing I had to do is try to figure out what most of them went to. And I just started taking this big ring of keys, and I'd go door to door. And I started figuring out, and there were some parts of that building that were locked and we couldn't get into, and so I had to keep using keys. And then the building next door, it took us a while to get in there because we could not find the key. And that's the same thing. It's the same way that God wants you and I to understand the kingdom of God. When you have the keys, but you don't have the secret to the key, right? Where he's saying you experiment and you keep trying one, and if this one don't work, you try another one, right? Same way that I went through that school building and kept trying to get in different parts of it. It's the same way that God wants you and I, that we utilize Scripture, that he wants you and I to see the fullness of it, that we go through and we try one thing after the other. But look what he says in that Matthew 13:11, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Who's them? The people right around you and I. He's saying that that you and I are supposed to be living a kingdom life right now, and that when everyone else is in an economic hardship, that you and I, when we're a part of the kingdom of God, we shouldn't feel the effects. When everyone else is losing their mind, right, the church should be holding it together, right? When everyone else is experiencing something, oftentimes the church does not, because there are secrets of the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. There are secrets of the kingdom. And so there are keys that you and I have through the Word of God that unlock these secrets. Hallelujah. Keys of the kingdom. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, he says. Well, a lot of times we use that verse in binding and demons and binding and loosing money. I've heard people use it in a lot of different ways. Whatever you bind on earth will be loosed on earth. Whatever you loose on heaven will be loosed on earth. Right? We use it, and we use it to bind up devils and all sorts of things. But it's been used and misused. And specifically in churches like ours, we'll do things like that. But if you really notice, is it working? We'll hear people, and they'll gather in intercessory prayer, and they'll start saying all sorts of things like that. I bind this, and we arrest this and that. But this scripture specifically is not talking about demons at all. It's misused. It's a key. It's a key of the kingdom that Jesus gives us right there, because he says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus was talking about functioning in the kingdom. He says there, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. The Greek word for bind is to lock. The Greek word for to loose is to unlock. It's pretty simple. He's saying whatever you unlock on earth is going to be unlocked for you. Whatever you lock up on earth, heaven is going to lock up. So if you and I don't know how to open something up, it doesn't become available to us. Right. Same thing last week. I left here, went to go home, got out of my car, grabbed my briefcase, got up to my door, couldn't find my keys. I had locked my keys in my office in the church. And so I needed to get back in the church. And I didn't have a spare church key in my car. So I called Lois to see if she was home yet. She didn't answer the phone. I was abandoned. Couldn't get back in the church. Called somebody else. They came over, met me, opened the church door. Thank God I didn't lock my office. And because I was able to get in the church, I could get into my office. But I didn't have access to something I normally had access to because I didn't have the right key. That's exactly what Jesus was saying here in the scriptures. If you and I don't know how to open something up, right? If you and I don't have the right keys, then heaven can't get it to us. The key to getting things from heaven is learning how to unlock, how to use the keys of the kingdom. And there are keys that he gives you and I in the kingdom. And there's a couple keys that I'm going to have time today. I said I wasn't going to keep you as long, and that's true. So I'm just going to give you probably two keys today to lay it out. One of the keys, I want you to look at this. And so hold on, because this is probably the best part of the message right here. Matthew chapter 5. And don't get mad at me. It's a holiday weekend, and the word says you got to love me to get into heaven. So hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 21, and I'm just really teaching today. more so than preaching, but I want to lay this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Oh, hallelujah. And we're going to read just 21 through 24. But he says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Oh, my. Now watch this, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. He says, and we know the scripture well, we're good at quoting it. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take your one or two more, by the mouth of the two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Now, why am I using that? I'm using those couple scriptures because if you want to lock up heaven fast, have unforgiveness. We are good in the church, especially our charismatic, Pentecostal, non-denominational churches like ours, tongue-talking, whatever, spirit-filled churches. I've seen it, I've watched, I've pastored people who we are trying to get the heavens to open up and fall down, and there are people right now and pastors, and I have friends, just like the pastors who are angry with us locally because we're doing the food distribution and it ain't them and blah, blah, blah. I mean, jealousy and things. That here we are as pastors and communities and pastoral boards and that trying to call down fire and revival into our community, and then we have this kind of stuff going on. That's the very thing Jesus was saying. He was saying, notice what he said back there, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then I read to you Matthew 5:21 and Matthew 18, where he's talking about unforgiveness. We're talking about those things where if we have aught in our brother, he was saying, even if you have aught against someone, don't even give your offering. Because he said, I won't bless it. This is the truth that the church misses, and there's a lot of preachers who won't dare to preach that because they're afraid the offering will go down. But see, you and I, although we can be generous, you're not my provider, right? We have to believe in the kingdom of God. Our ministry has always been like that, totally faith-based. Some people, when they first came, thought, this preacher has lost his mind, but they've saw the fruit of it over the years, right? That's one of the things we have to do, is we have to check our heart. If you want to lock up heaven fast, have unforgiveness. And so many times we come into the house of God in our worship and our prayer. We even get hands laid on us and prayed over, and two and three will agree. And here we are walking in unforgiveness. But the Bible says if you do not forgive, then your Father shuts down and he does not forgive. But if you forgive, he forgives. See, that's a key right there, Lois. And we miss it because we get caught up in our religion, in a routine. We're going to start back to live worship, and we'll come in and we'll have a fight in the car. And we'll have unforgiveness against our spouse, come in and worship and pray for our brothers and sisters and pray over the hundreds of prayer requests our church gets, and then they're not getting breakthrough. Why? Because we have unforgiveness. I can be singing, I can sit at the piano, and I can't wait till everyone else is here worshiping with me, so it's not like I'm doing it all alone, right? We can be sitting here, and I can be singing the chorus, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. I could be doing all that. But if I'm bitter at someone across the room, or had a fuss with someone in the family, heaven is as cold as ice crystals. Because the verse that we misquote and that we take out of context, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, meaning if I'm going to loose unforgiveness, heaven is going to loose unforgiveness. Oh, I can see Lois is back there like, wow. That's a hard word for you and I to understand, but there's truth in it. Hallelujah. And Facebook went dead, right? Probably nobody's going to comment now because, Lord, preacher's talking to me now. Hallelujah. Look what he said there in Matthew 5. If you bring your offering or you worship before the Lord, and then you remember that someone has aught against you. In other words, if you're offended. He said, don't try to bring your offerings and worship to me. Boy, how many times I can tell you over the years I've been guilty before I went through my separation. I'll tell you, my wife and I, we used to fight. Brother David, I'll tell you. You know, getting three kids ready in the morning, and then we got to a point where the armor bearers would come to our house, and that was a blessing, and they would, like, intervene, and they would help get the kids ready, and one of the elders would come and get me and drive me to the church. It was just another month, so I didn't have to worry about anything else. I could just only focus on the Word, and what a difference it made. However, before that time, we would fight and yell and scream and act a fool, and then we would try to go in the house of God, and the fire of God wasn't falling. Because whatever we bound on earth was bound in heaven. And whatever we loosed on earth. If you want to see God move in your life, you better get through and offer some forgiveness. Because you and I are walking around trying to be forgiven. Forgiven of what? Because you haven't forgiven. Oh, hallelujah. You and I are trying to get financial breakthrough. Just hold your seed. There are some people that they'll want to give to be noticed. And there are some kind of people that they'll come into church or they'll give or they'll watch through a program like this or they'll watch our TV program and they'll give. But God's saying to them, hey, if he's saying, don't bring your offering before me if you're walking in offense. Because I can't bless it. That's what he said in Matthew 5. I can't bless it. God doesn't even want you and I to worship him out of the bitterness of our heart. Because one of the keys that we have to get a hold of in the church is forgiveness. I mean real forgiveness. Because if you're going to operate in the kingdom of God, if we're going to do all that we're doing as a church, I mean it's great that we served, 7,600 meals to families in the last couple of months. That's wonderful, and it's to be applauded, and I'm excited to be able to be a part of it and pastor people who have a heart just like I do with it. But we've got to make sure that we have the right spirit because God can't bless it. We've got to make sure that we're walking in forgiveness. He said, if you have an enemy that offended you, right? The kingdom says, if you are offended by anyone, go and make it right. Now watch this. If you and I are offended, we get offended all the time. And church people do. What we typically do in the church is when we get offended, people leave. And I don't have time for that. I don't. I've grown in God enough that if I was a part of making it wrong, I will go and make it right. If I didn't have anything to do with it and you're mad and I don't even know why you're mad, forget it. See you, bye. You weren't a son, you weren't a daughter, you were just here to get what you could get. We get mad over stupid stuff. Great, mighty, powerful churches, even through the years that I've seen and been a part of, and churches I grew up in, and now where they are because of just silliness, craziness. I'm a big enough person that you can be mad at me and my opinion won't change. You can tell me you don't like me, you can tell me that sermon wasn't very good, you can tell me my hair isn't nice, you can tell me you don't like what I got on and I'll still love you. And yet what we do in the church oftentimes when it comes to offense, the Bible says if you are offended, go and make it right. Now, I've done in-depth teaching on offense, and I'm not going to go there today, but it's a trap. Even the word says calls it, it's like a scandal. It's a trap, like a bear trap. What a fence does is it's a trap and it holds on to you. And you and I keep kind of living with that trap hung on, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And the reason he wants you and I to go and make it right is because one of the keys of the kingdom is you must be a peacemaker. The second key I said I wanted to share with you today is blessed are the peacemakers, for these are the sons of God. Remember, another scripture says, as many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. There's another key for you. If you and I want to see heaven come to earth, how many times have you heard me pray and people will comment about the prayers I post and how powerful they are and da-da-da-da-da. And the reason is because if you're led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. You can hear and speak the heart of God. And there will be some people that get mad at you because you don't hold a grudge and you don't stay mad. How many of you know? I understand what it's like that I grew up and I knew what it was to watch mom and dad fight, sort of. And mom's going to love this. But sometimes one would hold a grudge and then they wouldn't talk for 2 days. And then I did that in my marriage, too, where we wouldn't talk for 3 days go by, or I just grunt. Could talk to everybody else, Sister Lois. I'd love and hug on everybody else in the church, and they could do wrong, and I'd love on them anyway. My wife would do wrong, and I wouldn't talk to her for 3 days. And we got to a place in the ministry where, man, everything was locked up. Finances had dried up. People, growth had stopped. I mean, you name it. It wasn't until sometime later, Brother David, I learned whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth. I learned that I had dismissed the keys. I learned that Jesus had given me the keys right here. It's just as though I'm carrying around a ring of keys and I don't know what they go to. When you and I are trying to get God to move and it's not happening, we need to make sure that we're using the right key. Blessed are the peacemaker. There are people, I just heard somebody say about someone in their family member that they're always such a pushover. No, they're a peacemaker. They forgive, because Jesus said in the word, blessed are the peacemaker, for these are the sons of God. God wants you and I to not be drama queens and stirring trouble all the time and saying, I know I'm not supposed to tell you this, but he wants you and I to be peacemakers. Because if we're not, the kingdom of heaven is locked up on us. I really believe that if you and I would live by the kingdom of God, church would be different. Meaning, if you and I would live by the kingdom and not walk in anger and malice and jealousy and hatred and fighting and brokenness, heaven would be opened up. You know, if we want to be a people that sees revival and sees God move in a powerful way, or we want to see breakthrough happen in things we've been praying about, then we need to start using the keys of the kingdom. What's the first two keys? You need to begin to walk in forgiveness. You need to be a peacemaker. Just start working on those two things this week. Let's see what God will do, right? Now, right along with those, I can't not mention this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It just seems appropriate, and we'll close with this. Hold on. 1 Peter 3, 7, he says, if you're married, oh, hallelujah, if you're married, live with your spouse sensitively, lest your prayer be unanswered. We'll say something like, well, I'm not going to speak until he does. Or I wasn't the one that was wrong. Who's wrong and who's right is not the issue. Jesus said, if you're married, live with your spouse sensitively, lest your prayer be unanswered. The issue is offense. And if there's offense in the house, prayer isn't working. If there's a fence in the house, prayer isn't working. See, I can't afford to be offended, and I can't afford to offend others. Hallelujah. If there's a fence in the house, prayer isn't working. Keys to the kingdom. Now, Tuesday night when I shared a little impromptu video, everyone was shouting at home, and glory, hallelujah. And we got through the shouting to bring into the truth, to reveal a couple keys that are important to unlocking what heaven has promised you and I. Friend, I want you to hear the word of the Lord today. Walk in forgiveness. Be a peacemaker. Hallelujah. Don't walk on a fence. And then begin to watch that whatever you unlock on the earth will be unlocked in heaven for you. Hallelujah. I believe that that's true. I believe that you will see the glory and the demonstration of God, the kingdom of God. You will begin to utilize the keys of heaven. We'll talk more about them in the days and weeks ahead. Next week, I'm going to finish the Pentecost series, since it is Pentecost Sunday. And then we'll pick up more on the keys to the kingdom, I'm sure, here and there. But praise God. As we get ready to close today, and I wanted to end a little early so you can enjoy your weekend and a holiday with family if you're doing something, and just relax and enjoy the presence of God. But I also want to encourage you, if you didn't so already and you want to do so online, you can do that at freshfirechurch.net. And we encourage you to do so or mail it in. I believe they put the address in that there in the comments for you. And so use it, mail it in, give online, however you desire. We appreciate you. Remember all the announcements we shared earlier, food distribution this Thursday starting at 10. It'll be a great, great time. So we appreciate everyone who helps to make it possible. Hallelujah. Friends, let's pray. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that we can open our hearts and that we can begin to walk in forgiveness and be peacemakers. Father, I thank you, and Lord, I praise you today. God, you are a great and faithful and mighty God. And Lord, I just pray that today, that God, that you would utilize the teaching of your word. God, utilize what we share today. God, what a powerful understanding that, Lord, if we'd walk in forgiveness, if we not walk in offense, if we strive to be a peacemaker, then you can answer prayer. But Father, when we're walking in offense, when we're walking in bitterness, when we're walking in anger, whatever we've loosed here on the earth and whatever we've bound on earth is bound in heaven. Father, help us today. Father, we want to see heaven invade the earth. Lord, we want to see provision and abundance, and we want to see, God, you do extraordinary things. And Father, I know that that begins with us. God, we desire to live the kingdom lifestyle. We desire to see the keys of the kingdom be utilized and unlock, God, everything you promised us. So, Father, begin with us today. Father, I pray that you would reveal to us every area of unforgiveness. God, reveal every area of malice. God, reveal every area of offense. God, reveal every area, God, where we need to be a peacemaker. God, I pray in the name of Jesus for bold people, God, to begin to do the work of the Lord. God, that we can see you do extraordinary things in our life. God, so we can see the things that you've promised us manifest in our lives. Father, I praise you and I thank you for it. God, do what only you can do. Lord, I know it's difficult, it's challenging, but Father, I pray that they would have an ear to hear and receive and say, Lord, I want my prayers answered. God, I wondered why I was banging my head against a wall. I wondered why we weren't seeing results. Father, I pray that you'll begin to bring this revelation, bring it home for them and help them, oh God, I pray. Now, Lord, as we give our offering online and people mail it in, God, will you bless it? Will you multiply it? God, will you bring increase into their life? I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, just bless them back. God, I pray in your powerful name. God, continue to help us do and feed the community and do all that we're doing. God, I thank you. God, just cause it to be just increased in the name of Jesus. God, we bless you. God, keep everyone safe this weekend. God, I pray that everyone be rested. That God, I pray they rest today and tomorrow. And that God, when they wake up Tuesday morning, that their feet hit the ground, they're refreshed, renewed, restored, revived, and refired, ready for what's ahead. God, bless our church as we prepare to come back to in-person services. God, let us get the work done that needs to be done. God, I pray for excellence and safety. God, we thank you and we praise you. Now, bless everybody, Lord, with a beautiful week. In the name of Jesus Christ, we praise you and we thank you. Amen and amen. Have a great week, everybody. Have a great day. God bless you.